Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artists First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to Chit Chat Cafe Live. The show airs at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle @artist_first. Now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live, Nancy and Lisa.
Hi, everyone. This is Nancy. It's time for Chit Chat Cafe Live. Time to unwind and spend your evening chatting with us. We are very excited tonight. We are going to be chatting with author Mary Jane Clark about her book, The Look of Love, as well as Lydia Orzech, the CEO of Hanky Panky, and Derek Frazier, the son of heavyweight boxing champion Joe Frazier. Lisa, can you believe all the coverage and sadness about the cruise line?
Oh my God, isn't that weird? When you look at the pictures on the news, you just see that ship just like laying there, and it looks so close to shore.
It's amazing. And I'm based here in St. Paul, Minnesota, and the only two missing Americans are from the town right next to mine.
So sad, that story. Weren't they, and there were no empty nesters, and there was their first trip together or something?
Yes. Raised four children. They saved their money their entire lives to start this part of their lives. It's their first trip. So our prayers are going out to the Heil family.
Yeah.
Along with everyone else. My goodness.
Cruising never appealed to me to begin with.
We went once, believe it or not, and it was on a coastal cruise our children. It was fabulous. Everything you can imagine.
You love them or you don't. And when I was a travel agent, I could have went on one for $35 a day.
Oh, my.
That's the rate we would get. I just had never any desire to go on a cruise.
Wanted to try it. And after we did, we enjoyed it, but our favorite thing is to just go to one specific place and enjoy that.
Yeah, I'd rather just go to a beautiful resort and hang out there.
Yeah, but it was really fun, and it was actually, ironically, a Costa cruise way back. And
where'd you go, to Caribbean?
It was delightful. Well, we're also excited and thanking all of our Chit Chat Cafe Live listeners tuning in tonight. The boards are lighting up, even though the Republican primary is going on at the same exact moment. So thank you, listeners.
My husband can't wait to watch it, please.
Oh, mine has it on, but our board's right here, and our emails and messages are lighting up, showing they're excited about tonight's show, Lisa. Isn't this great?
Yeah, we have some cool people on tonight.
Well, I can't wait. Let's get right to it. Our first guest is Mary Jane Clark, the author of 13 novels, including the one we're talking about tonight, The Look of Love by HarperCollins. She's a veteran writer and producer for CBS News in New York City for 3 decades. Welcome, Mary Jane Clark.
Hi, Nancy, and hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you? Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, your book, 4 stars plus in all the reviews that we've read. It has everything: jealousy, murder, intrigue. And you have your character, Piper Donovan, back again.
Yes, this is the second book with Piper Donovan in it. It's my wedding cake mystery series. I had written 12 books that were inspired by my years in television news, and I created a fictional television news network called Key News. And the first books were media thrillers. And then a couple of years ago, I was watching Martha Stewart one morning on television, and she was talking about her book called Wedding Cakes, and each picture in the book was like a mini masterpiece. These cakes were so artfully done and so beautiful, and each one was keyed in to a different location for a wedding. So, for example, if if it was a beach wedding, the wedding cake would be covered in sugar seashells. And if it was a wedding, say, in a country inn in Vermont, the cake had marzipan leaves in the autumn colors. And as I looked at the pictures, I started to think, wouldn't it be neat to write a mystery series about a young woman who was a wedding cake decorator, and in each book, she would go to a different location for a wedding, and there would be different bride and groom, different family and friends, and different characters at the location of the wedding. A mystery would develop, and I'd go from there. So the first one, To Have and to Kill, took place in New York City at Christmas time, and this is the second, and it takes place in Los Angeles in January, and my hope is to do 12 of them all together, each one in a different month, in the location in a different part of the United States that would be perfect for a wedding at that in that month.
We love that idea, and I have to say that one of my favorite things is reading about characters that can continue, because you never want the character to end and the book to end.
Well, I think that's true. Once you get to know the character, you really are invested almost emotionally in them, and you want to know, you know, what happens next in their life, and you're rooting for them. So I think that's why series with continuing characters are so popular.
We love it. Now, this and Piper Donovan, for this one, she's hired to go to L.A., all-expense-paid trip to create a wedding cake at a glamorous spa resort.
Right. It's a spa resort, and it's also a plastic surgery center where famous people can come, you know, for a little nip and tuck in utter seclusion so that people don't even know they're there. So that's kind of that undercurrent of secrecy, I think, is a good place to set a mystery.
Well, we don't want to give too much away, and thank you very much for sending us your book. The cover's beautiful, and we just love the picture of the bride and the groom with a knife separating them.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the cover's pretty good.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Now, Piper Donovan, the main character, also in this book wants to distance herself from her handsome FBI agent, lover, boyfriend, relationship,
right.
Jack Lombardi.
Yes.
And how much of that did you draw from your own life?
Well, my father he's a retired FBI agent. So I grew up around, obviously, one particular FBI agent, but also, you know, that whole FBI mentality. And I still have a lot of FBI friends, and they help me with the research in the book. So I think I feel like I know the FBI and can write a character that's FBI-driven. So that's where I came up with Jack.
Oh, it sounds very exciting. And I love it that no sooner does Piper arrive and there's a murder.
Right. Well, you know, I start almost with the prologue with something that will take your breath away, and then you know, the suspense starts from there, and hopefully doesn't let go. The people that have read it so far said they couldn't put it down, that they just kept turning the pages, and that's what I really want to provide, is a roller coaster ride. You know, that there are, you know, you build up to the top, and then you come down, and then you build up again, and you come down, so that there's a lot of excitement in the book.
I love that. Now, do you think Piper will be in all of your mysteries?
Well, she'll be in all of the wedding cake mysteries.
Okay.
I still hope to do more key news stories, and Piper doesn't appear in those, but she'll be in all 12 of the Piper Donovan wedding cake mysteries.
Good. Now, for all of our Chit Chat Cafe Live listeners, this is your second wedding cake mystery, a Piper Donovan mystery.
Right.
And you have the key news thrillers, and you have 12 novels.
Right.
With those.
Yep. Those, as I think I mentioned they were, I got the inspiration for those when I was working at CBS, and I think that television news world is a very suspenseful one, because you can have the characters go out to cover their stories, and what they get involved in pretty much knows no bounds. So, for example, one of them took place while the characters were covering a hurricane in Florida, and another one took place where the main character, Eliza Blake, who's the anchor woman, her little girl gets kidnapped. And part of that came from the FBI connection. Again, when my father was an FBI agent, he worked on a lot of high-profile kidnapping and extortion cases. So I remembered that when, you know, I was growing up, and I had always had a big fear of kidnapping for my own children, I think as a result of that. And finally, with my kids all grown, I thought, you know, that would be a really suspenseful story, confronting my own fears about it and writing about it. So, you know, I get the ideas from what I've experienced or what I see around me.
Well, we're with you there about, you know, the missing children and people, so we agree with you 100%. And I know Lisa's very excited. She wants to know about what was it like growing up with your father as an FBI agent.
Well, you know, he didn't talk very much about his work. He wasn't allowed to. But I knew that he had a gun in the top drawer of his dresser, and I knew that he'd have to go out on surveillance assignments at night. And you know, and at that time when I was growing up, there was a show on television that was actually called The FBI with Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. So I used to watch that show and think, well, that's what my father is working on, those kind of things. But, you know, I would read sometimes about his cases in the newspaper. But, again, he was very circumspect and didn't talk about his work because he really couldn't. And so there was always kind of a little air of suspense and intrigue around our house when I was growing up. And I don't know for sure that that got me into suspense writing, but it certainly didn't hurt.
I have to tell you, this is Lisa. My husband picked up your book this morning and read three chapters before he went to work.
Oh, great! I love that!
I want to know what it was like to work at CBS. What was it like to work behind the scenes? Did you work in the newsroom?
Yes.
Like, where did you work in CBS?
I worked at CBS News headquarters in New York City. I started there right when I got out of college as a desk assistant, working the 4-to-midnight shift and making $117 a week, which wasn't even a lot of money back in the late 1970s. And then over the years worked my way up, and when I left CBS a few years ago, I was a writer and producer. But I loved that work. That's what I had always wanted to do from when I was a little girl, actually. And I think I made up my mind, and I was in fourth grade when President Kennedy was assassinated, and I remember watching television news all that weekend, and afterwards, that's all I wanted to do, was work in TV news. So I feel really lucky to have had that whole career there. And to get paid to go into work every day to watch history as it was being made, and you were never sure what the day was going to bring, so it wasn't boring, and I really loved it. And subsequently, you know, it led to this writing, this whole second career as a novelist, and that television news world, as I say, it resulted in my first 12 books.
Wow. Now, who did you meet a lot of cool people? Like, who did you work with? You'd have to say that, or?
Well, you know, I worked on different shows. I met a lot of very cool people, and, you know, the correspondents that all worked there. And then, of course, during the presidential election years, we'd work on on national political stories, or mm-hmm. covering the Pope when he came to the United States, and,
Cool. You know,
the O.J. Simpson trial. I mean, you name it, you'd be assigned to work it. And sometimes you'd meet the people and sometimes you wouldn't. but mm-hmm. you spend a lot of time covering them.
Wow, that's cool.
It was great. It was great.
You must miss it.
You know, I did it for almost 3 decades, and I do miss it, but I don't miss it. You know, I think, 30 years of it was great, and I loved it, and I left when I still loved it.
Mm-hmm. I guess a lot of that goes into your writing, your experiences doing that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. For sure.
What is your next, what else are you going to be working on besides books? Anything else?
Well, besides books?
Yeah.
No.
Articles or anything like that?
No, I do some blogging for different websites that ask me once in a while. But basically, no, I'm going to stick with the books, and I have a lot of them in my mind that I still want to write. And, in fact, the one I'm working on now is the next wedding cake mystery, and in that one, Piper is going to travel to Sarasota, Florida for a wedding. So, it's a lot of fun researching these stories because you want to pick places that you know, are beautiful so that somebody would want to have a wedding there. And the research can sometimes be the most fun of writing the book.
Now, when you're writing a book, when do you write? Does it take like all day to write a chapter? Does it take weeks to write one chapter? Like, how does that, what's the process of writing a book? How do you
It doesn't really have a science to it. You know, some days, you can really, you can write 10, 12 pages, and some days you struggle to eke out 2. So it just depends when things are coming together. In the beginning of the book, it's harder to write the pages because you're setting it up. You're trying to figure out who the characters are and what their motivation is and what's going to happen. But as you get into the story more, then you can write more quickly because, you know what they're going to do and who they are.
Mm-hmm. Nancy, do you have anything else to say?
I just really love your book, and I love this idea that we're going to be traveling with you with Piper.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's a lot of fun, and at the same time, I think it'll be fun doing the different locations, but it's also fun to have the suspense. So even though Piper isn't like the hard-hitting journalist of the key news stories. This girl is an actress. She doesn't have all the parts that she wants, so she kind of gets into the cake decorating as something to do between parts. And so she's based kind of loosely on my daughter Elizabeth, who is an actress, and I see how hard that acting world is, and that you do need time between something to do between parts. And so Piper isn't making this her whole career. It's part of her career, and it makes her I think very likable and young and peppy and very smart and very resourceful. So all of that goes into the story. So she's a fun character to write, and I always have my daughter read Piper to make sure the voice of Piper is right, because Elizabeth read To Heaven to Kill, and she looked through and she said to me, "Mom, this Piper sounds like she's in her 50s because I was writing her,
Right.
So Elizabeth went through and, gave me some suggestions on some of the dialogue to make Piper sound more like she was in her 20s.
Well, that's a great idea. Well, Mary Jane, this was fabulous having you on our show. We look forward to your next book to have you on again.
Well, thank you. I'll look forward to it, too.
We would love
definitely.
To have you return. And perhaps your daughter, Elizabeth, would like to join us sometime to talk about her acting.
She would love it, I'm sure.
Good.
So we'll look forward to that.
Well, our listeners can find you and your website on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website.
Okay, great. And you know what? Also, they could join me on Facebook, and we also have Piper Donovan on Facebook, so you can join her, too.
Good. I just saw that. Lisa and Nancy are going to join both of you. Well, we joined you, Mary Jane, but now we're going to join Piper Donovan.
Excellent. That's great.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Good night.
Thank you so much for having me.
You were lovely. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a nice lady.
Oh, so much fun.
Yeah.
I love that.
And my husband really loves her book. Oh, my God.
I know. I love it. I love it, especially when characters continue. That's my favorite thing.
Oh, like a series kind of thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, we're very excited for our next guest. We're going to take a quick commercial, and then we're joined by Lydia Orzech of Hanky Panky. Remember to look at our website. We're thanking our sponsors, Laura Geller Makeup, Intimacy Bras, and St. Croix Orthopedics. Find them on our website. Stay tuned.
Now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live on the Artist First World Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is Lisa. We have a very special guest next. Her name is Lydia Orzech. She's the CEO of Hanky Panky Luxury Lingerie. Welcome, Lydia.
Hi. Hi there. Thank you. Lydia.
That's a pretty name. I like it.
Thank you.
So you're the CEO of Hanky Panky. I love your panties.
How do you know? Do you wear them?
Go ahead, Lisa. Lisa's lavender, and I'm turquoise.
You sent us one, but I've seen them in the stores. They're so pretty. I've seen them in Nordstrom's and Bloomingdale's.
Yep. Yes. Those are actually two very important customers of ours. We sell to all of the better department stores and thousands of smaller boutiques and specialty stores around the country and overseas as well.
So tell us, what makes Hanky Panky so different than any other panties you can buy?
Well, you know, Hanky Panky is, it's actually a phenomenon. It's more than a lingerie company. And the phenomenon started 35 years ago, because that's when we went into business. But in 1986, my co-founder and good friend, Gail Epstein, designed, very painstakingly, developed our first thong. It was the 4811, and it's a style we still make. It's the original Rise thong. Everybody knows it by its style number. And she worked on it, knew that this was a category that needed something very different from what existed before. In the past, thongs were uncomfortable. And what we have with the Hanky Panky thong for the very first time was a comfortable thong, which is an oxymoron to a lot of people, certainly was back then. But now, anybody who tries the Hanky Panky thong is sold. It is not only cute and pretty and comes in so many different colors, but it's comfortable, and that's what put that thong on the map. And although we make so many other styles, it was very, very important in making Hanky Panky a household name.
Now, they only come in one size? Because the ones you sent us, it just says one size.
Well, we actually sent two different sizes. One was a plus-size thong. Now, it probably says one size because it's one size for the plus-size customer. And the other we sent, which says one size fits 4 to 14, we also make a petite thong for the really, really small 0 and 2 customer. But in addition to the original rice thong, which you both got, we call it the 4811's younger sister, the low-rise thong, which sits lower on the hips, and it's the 4911, and that was developed a few years after the 4811, and it's just taken off. 4911 is maybe geared toward a younger customer, but for instance, I'm not a younger customer, and I wear them both. I wear the low-rise under low-rise jeans, and I wear the regularize under other pants, and of course there are so many. We're known as a bottoms resource, so we have so many other styles of hipsters and boy shorts and retro thongs and bikinis and a g-string. We make a comfortable g-string also.
Oh, we would like that.
Okay, it's coming right at you.
Oh, and does that come in the different colors also?
Yes, yes. But our thong has the most variety of color and patterns. We've got literally dozens of colors at any one time. And we change them. We introduce new colors seasonally. You'd think that underwear didn't respond to seasons, but it absolutely does. And in the fall, we'll have more muted autumnal tones. And springtime, we've got very poppy, neon-like colors. And it gives our customers, they come out and they want to see what's new, and it gives them a reason to buy. It's a very exciting category, the hanky panky thong, and we sell them not only hanging up on a hanger, as you would imagine, but also rolled in a very special way, and they sit in bins or baskets at checkout counters, and they look like candy, and that's how people buy them. Oh, there's a color I need. Oh, yes, I want another hanky-panky thong. And they just pick them up at the register and go.
Nancy, do you have anything to add?
Well, I would just, where are you talking about, in Bloomingdale's?
Almost everywhere. Some lingerie stores may only have our thongs in a hanging version, but almost all stores like to have the ease of the rolled thong, because as I say, they take up a very little amount of space and therefore are a real source of income for the stores. Bloomingdale's, Nordstrom's, they all sell them rolled, and of our thousands of specialty stores around the country, about two-thirds of them are sportswear stores. So you can find hanky-panky at your favorite boutique. You don't need to just go to a lingerie store.
Now, hanky-panky are a little more expensive than some of the other panties. How would you take care of them? How do you suggest laundering them?
Well, we do suggest that they be washed by hand in cold water. I will tell you that I disobey our rule, and I do wash them in a machine, and they have held up beautifully for me, but I don't advocate that. However, when you wash your delicates by hand and hang dry, you should make sure that your sink is clean and doesn't have residue from your toothpaste. You'd be surprised how caustic those things can be. So, a lot of women really love taking care of their delicates in a delicate way. And it's so pretty to see them hanging in the bathroom as they're air drying.
Well, that's the truth, especially your Matisse print.
Ah, yes.
That's lovely.
Isn't that beautiful? We say make an impression with the Matisse print.
It's beautiful, and it's exciting to see what's coming new for spring of 2012, and especially Valentine's Day.
Oh, Valentine's Day. Let's talk about Valentine's Day. We, on our website, which is the most complete way to shop the Hanky Panky line, and our website is hankypanky.com, we have a very complete Valentine's Day selection, and in fact, we have our gift guide for Valentine's Day. And one of the most popular styles that we make for Valentine's Day and other holidays is what we call our rose thong, or a thong rose, and it's a an instance where a rose is a rose is a thong. And if you are you looking at the website now?
Yes.
Okay.
We like to order, but we're especially excited about the low rise in the G-string. Correct, Lisa?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really? That's what we usually wear.
Oh, cheerleaders. Is that
right?
From your heritage?
Yes.
Of course. And, well, yeah, I'll tell you that the thong, I don't think you have to go so itty-bitty with the G-string. The thong will be great under very abbreviated shorts. But
it all looks beautiful. And we have you listed on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website for our listeners to find you and fall in love with Hanky Panky as well.
Oh, that's great. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
You're very welcome.
Come back another time when you have some new stuff coming out and share it with our listeners.
We have new things every season, and believe it or not, in the fashion industry, there are 5 seasons. Go figure.
I know.
Funny.
So now tell everybody, our listeners, because we're worldwide. Can somebody, say, in England order your things? Or
They can, but not through our website. We do have distributors in England. And
okay.
And there are some websites that do ship to the UK.
Okay.
Right now, we are not shipping internationally.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Your lingerie is beautiful. I can attest to that. I can tell everybody that for sure. I've seen it.
Well, let me tell you something else that might make the lingerie even more appealing. Everything that we make is made in New York. And we've been making everything in the United States for 35 years. It's very important to my partner, Gail, and myself that we continue to do that. And so we have dedicated contractors, and we've got a warehouse in Queens, New York. Our main office is right in Manhattan. And we do all of our designing right there in Manhattan, and we have a showroom. And it's very exciting to be in a company that does, you know, soup to nuts, so that everybody who works there can see the inception of the product and how it moves through production. And, you know, our items don't need a passport to get into this country. They're here, and we're able to turn fast and watch our quality very, very closely. It is a very high. It's not a commodity, you know. Hanky Panky is known as a quality product that is near and dear to hundreds of celebrities who are willing to go out and say, "I wear Hanky Panky." We've got lists and lists of.
I love the name too. I have to tell you, the name's adorable.
Oh, I have to tell you how it came then. How it came.
We're
going to
be in New York City in February. Maybe we can visit you.
Would love to show you around. Our showroom, if you come to, we're on Park Avenue South, you have to come see us.
Oh, we would love that.
We're going to be in February.
We'll be in touch with you.
You'll be here in February? Absolutely. And let
Actually,
me tell you.
Fashion Week, around that week, we're going to come.
Oh, you definitely have to contact me, please. I'd love to.
Oh, well, we will. That'll be cool.
And I also just want to tell your listeners real fast how the name Hanky Panky came about. 35 years ago, Gail, who's a designer and was my friend back then, still is, of course, made a lingerie set for me for my birthday, and she made it out of handkerchiefs that she had cut up and refashioned.
That's
and
cute.
She made a little bra and bikini, And we loved them. I wanted to sell them. We just, you know, the light bulbs went off. We decided we've got to go into business, and the name has to be Hanky Panky.
Well, that's adorable. Well, we will be in touch with you, Lita.
Great.
And
wonderful.
Thank you so much for joining us.
I look forward to
thank
that.
Thank you for sharing your Hanky Panky with us.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure, completely.
We'll be in touch. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
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 The stuff's beautiful. It's really pretty.
It's going to be great fun to meet her and have a tour and get the low rise.
Then we'll report back.
Oh, Lisa, can you imagine?
What?
Valentine's Day, Hanky Panky, and everything. We get to see it all when
we meet her. Well, that's around the time we're supposed to go.
I know.
Middle February, yeah.
Have the tour in New York City. Have pictures taken with Lita.
Yep.
Oh, what fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh. We'd like to thank you for enjoying our archives. Just go to our website at artistfirst.com and scroll down to one of the shows that you'd like to listen to. Click on the archives, and you can listen while you're playing on Facebook or doing work. And enjoy some of our old guests that were on. We had Davy Jones on. We had Water for Crystal. We had Marie Bell Chocolates. We had Marcia Mason, the Academy Award nominee. We've had Ty Babiloni, an Olympic skater. We've had so many cool guests, so just scroll down and enjoy some of the old shows. Okay, we are going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with Smokin' Joe Frazier's son, Derek Frazier.
Now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live on the Artist First World Radio Network.
What an honor. Lisa and I are on cloud nine. We are so excited to be chatting with the son of boxing legend, heavyweight champion, Smokin' Joe Frazier. Let us introduce Derek Frazier. Hi, Derek.
Hello. How y'all doing, ladies?
We're thrilled. This is part one. Everyone listening to Chit Chat Cafe Live. And part two interview is going to be February 2nd. Let's start right into it. What was it like growing up with Joe Frazier as your father?
Oh, man. Having Joe Frazier as my father was just like having any other normal father. You know, he gave me the world. He made sure I was always, you know, always taken care of. And, I mean, I'm glad I had him as a father. It had his rough time because there was plenty of times where people, you know, just wanted to come at me and try to, you know, mess with me just because of who my father was. But at the same time, there was people that came out that respect me and always show me love. And, you know, I've been quiet for like 20 years. You know, a lot of people don't know who I am because I'm the baby. But my dad, you know, he treated me like a prince, gave me everything I ever wanted. And, you know, it's tough because I miss him a lot, but I'm glad I had him for 20 years. Growing up with him, it was nice having him around all the time. He was always there. He came to all my events. He just always made sure he talked to me. There wasn't 3 days he didn't go without talking to me.
I love that. Now, you know, all dads like to wrestle and box with their sons. Did you guys do that?
Yes, we did. He had me in the ring for a little bit. He tried to, you know, train me to be a boxer, but that kind of didn't work out. You know, he had other plans for me. He wanted me to do what I wanted to do in life. So it's just kind of, you know, I was glad that he gave me that choice, but it was good to learn because he taught me everything. He taught me how to stick up for myself, stick up from everything, just self-defense. He was just the best. He was the best. I'm glad I learned from him, and, you know, I'm glad to know that if somebody asked me to show me how to box, I could teach them the correct way.
Oh, that is great. Now, growing up at your household, Sunday dinners after church, perhaps, families over and friends, were there some other boxers that would come over that you get to meet?
I met some boxers. You know, I met Bernard Hopkins. I met Larry Holmes. I'm trying to think. Who else? George Foreman. I met Ali once, but that was at a fighting event. But I met other, you know, Philly boxers, other Jersey, New York boxers when we used to go to the events and stuff. And he used to take me everywhere. When I was little, I think I've been probably the whole East Coast with him. He drove me, took me. I was like his partner. He didn't care. But once I got older and had to really, you know, stay in the school system and get everything down, you know, I stopped going out with him a lot. But it was nice having him all the time. And I talked to, he's been introducing me to plenty of, you know, a lot of boxers and let them know who I was. But, you know, it was nice and stuff. And we would have dinner on Sunday and he would come over and we would talk about what's our plans for the week or, you know, him and my mother. So it was nice, very nice.
Well, my husband used to box when he was in college with the Philadelphia Police League, the boxing league.
I think I heard of them. I think he took, I feel like they had an event before and he took me there. I don't know. I can't remember, but I've been so many boxing events.
That's
exciting. It's ridiculous.
Oh, well, that is just great. So,
thank you.
So we wanted to have you on especially tonight because it was just Muhammad Ali's birthday.
Yes, and happy birthday to Muhammad Ali.
Happy birthday. And also, everyone on Chit Chat Cafe Live, Lisa and I started to tweet with Derek right around the time that Joe Frazier's father passed away.
Right.
And so we were tweeting saying you're in our prayers. Stay strong, Derek.
And that was very nice for you and all your fans who tweeted me during that time because I was having a very tough time with everything that was going on. And it was hectic. So, you know, I said to myself that I was going to, you know, do a documentary, a little short film documentary that's going to come out, we'll say, the week of the Super Bowl Monday. And it's going to explain the history about exactly what happened with, you know, my father and everything. So I'm just glad to know that, you know, I could finally speak because after a month of, you know, after he died, I had to take time off to get myself together because, you know, I really didn't know how to go about things. But I said when 2012 come in, I was going to come in with a new attitude and explain exactly my days lasting with my father.
Well, that's why we're having you back for part two, February 2nd, to talk about that documentary. That's going to be exciting.
Yes, right. And I want people to tune in. It's going to be, I'm putting it all over my Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter. I know it's on your homepage. And, you know, my Twitter name is Frazier Flea. You can find me on Facebook at Derek Dennis Frazier. I answer everybody. I talk to everybody. It doesn't matter what the subject's about. But entail what the documentary is going to be about is going to explain exactly what happened the final days with me with my father. How did things go down? Because, you know, people don't really know how everything went down. It doesn't look as pretty as it looked because, you know, they're making it seem like, oh, you know, he passed away. Everybody's mourning about it. But, you know, people don't understand that my father was taken away from me by my own family. So, you know, that's going to explain a lot. It's going to have a lot of detail. And, you know, when I come back for part two, it's going to say everything.
Well, we can't wait for part two. We're going to get into all that. But, Derek, I know that you did want to mention something. Was it one of your brothers wrote?
All right. My brother Marvis Fraser put up an article this past time. And, you know, I'm not going to speak a lot on it because it's not, you know, about me. It's about him. But my intake on it is there's always two sides to every story. So I'm not asking people just to believe mine or to believe his. But if you read the article, you can see it's really just all about him. Nobody else, you know, just all about him. And you have to realize my father had 11 kids, 11. And a lot of the stuff that has involvement, what's sad is that people that are just my dad's friends are in it. Not even the other siblings that are in it. So what I learned from reading the article, I mean, to be honest, a bunch of it is lies. A bunch of it is lies. I refuse to talk about it next week in my documentary because of the fact that, to me, it's not that important. So I'm talking about it now because it came out this week. After this week, I'm done talking about it because it's not the truth. That's how I look at it. That's how it's been, you know. But once you see my side, you'll sit there and go, that does add up with this and add up with that. So we'll see how that turns out.
Well, we're glad you're talking to us, Derek, at Chit Chat Cafe Live. Thank you.
Oh, no problem.
And I appreciate
y'all reaching out to me. Yes, I'm a student. I'm a sophomore at Rowan University. In Glassboro, New Jersey. I live on campus with all my lovely friends.
It's another corner from me. I live in Washington Township. We're going to meet him, Lisa.
Right. Y'all need to let me know. I like to go out for dinner.
We're going to do that and have pictures taken with you. And everyone, Chit Chat Cafe Live listeners, Lisa and Derek and I are all graduates of Rowan University.
Thank you for including me there. Thank you. I'm so glad to know that. We found that out tonight. But, yep. I mean, I love it here. You know, it's not too far away from Philadelphia, but it's far enough from me. You know, my father used to come up here and see me, but he was just the king of getting lost. He would always get lost, end up at another building, and people would call me or tweet me or Facebook me and be like, oh, your dad's at my building. Like, can you come get him? And I'll be like, all right, no problem. But, you know, to me personally, you know, what I was saying in the documentary is that me and my father had a very good relationship. You know, he taught me the world. He taught me how to like, you know, deal with stuff and how to get through situations that, you know, I probably couldn't, you know, do without his learning. You know, and I was the closest with my father out of everybody. I was with him 24 hours. He talked to me every single time of the day. If I didn't get a phone call from him, that means there's a problem. So, you know, I'm just glad that somebody gave me the opportunity to put out a short film documentary. It's going to be all over the web just to explain everything that happened, all the truth. You know, I'm going to lay all the cards out there on the table, you know, whatever the outcome is, whoever wants to, you know, say it was lies or come at me, I'm not worried about it because my mother, my friends, people that know me since I was a little kid will tell you Derek Fraser's not lying. He's telling the truth because I've been quiet for 20 years. And, you know, I feel like it's my time to finally come out and let people know everything.
And that's going to be in part two, everyone. Tune in again, Chit Chat Cafe Live, on February 2nd. We're going to talk to Derek Fraser again about the documentary. Well, Derek, do you have anything else you want to promote tonight? What are you studying in college?
I'm studying radio, television, film, trying to be an actor and a news broadcaster, trying to get into the entertainment business. But like I said, I do want to promote. There's going to be projects coming out soon. I'm working with people. I'm trying to get my own show for
living life as a boxer's son, so I've been working on that. And because, you know, people really don't know how the life really is living, being, you know, the world champion son. No one's ever sat down and said, hey, how is it really like? Because it's tough. It's really tough. You know?
Well, give us just one little thing about that. What was it like being the world champion son? What made it tough?
Made it tough because there were certain things that I couldn't say and do like other kids could do. You know, for example, you know, I couldn't, you know, be out there fighting in the streets because it's unfair if I fight somebody because I learned from a professional, you know? And it was tough because people were always, you know, coming at me, you know, making fun of me because my dad got beat up by, you know, George Foreman and, you know, all that stuff. But there was positive people that came out, you know, and supported me. And it was just tough because, you know, I felt like the black sheep. No one was ever coming out asking me, like, hey, you know, how's your life? Everybody was worried about all the rest of my other siblings, you know? So
exactly. You were the youngest.
Yeah, I'm the youngest. I'm the last one. You know, I'm the last one that had the last bit of my father, you know, except, you know, the doctor explained the days, you know, of him dying. But otherwise, you know, before that, I was always with him. He taught me everything. You know, I mean, to this day, I still can't go a day not feeling correct because I feel like I had not got a phone call from him telling me, hey, Dennis, I want you to get out there because Dennis is my middle name. He calls me by Dennis. I don't let anybody else call me Dennis but him.
Wow.
You know, he would say, hey, Dennis, get the schoolwork done. You know, you talk to your mother. You know, it doesn't feel right knowing that I have not got disciplined. But to know that I've had so many phone calls, conversations, trips, pictures, everything with him, that's all that matters to me. But on top of that, he also told me if anything ever happens to me, I want you to succeed in life, and I want you to take over whatever I have. And that's exactly what I'm doing, but I'm doing it in the right way.
Well, we're proud of you, and we cannot wait to have you join us again on February 2nd.
Yes, I'm very excited for February 2nd. If you guys ever want to talk or any questions I can answer, just follow me on Twitter, add me on Facebook. I'm more than welcome to talk to everybody, you guys. Everyone, if I don't reach you, one of my friends will reach you and tell you he's going to talk to you. So
we're always tweeting and enjoying it, and we have all of that listed for our listeners to find you, Derek, on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website. And we're proud of you, and we are going to leave you with this, just like your dad would say, although Lisa and I are going to say, Derek, do your best in school, stay happy and healthy. Until we talk again on February 2nd.
Thank you, and I appreciate it. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Just please, I made the short documentary. It will be out next week. It will be posted everywhere.
About it. Yep.
Well, great. So, thank you. God
thank
bless you.
You,
Derek.
You too. Thank
you. See
you. Bye.
Have a good evening, ladies.
Bye.
You too. Bye, Derek.
Bye.
And what a sweet young man.
We're just so proud. And now we all are all from the same college. We're just proud of Derek.
Yep,
so that's going to be fun.
Yep.
February 2nd on Chit Chat Cafe Live, Derek is going to reveal parts of the documentary, the days leading up to and after his father's death, Joe Frazier.
Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. We're talking to Joe Frazier's son.
I know. And he is just so nice.
What a sweetie. Yep.
A sophomore in college, the youngest of the children.
Mm-hmm.
We're very proud. Tonight, Lisa, we had an exclusive interview with him. We are the very first radio station and show that Derek has spoken with.
Wow.
So, Chit Chat Cafe Live is thrilled. We are thanking our sponsors tonight, Laura Geller Makeup, Intimacy Bras, and St. Croix Orthopedics. We're giving a special thank you to Corey King. Enjoy his show, The Corey King Show, every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on Artists First.
I'd like to thank our guests tonight, Mary Jane Clark, Lita Orzek from Hanky Panky, and Derek Frazier. I'm inviting you to listen to our archives, perhaps our Davy Jones archive, our Melania Trump. We had Donald Trump's wife on, or Jeff Ashton. He was the prosecuting attorney for the Casey Anthony case. So click our website, scroll down to the show date you want to listen to, and click on the date.
Well, I just saw the Margaret Thatcher movie, Iron Lady. I'd like to leave you with a quote from Margaret Thatcher. Do what you know is right and important. It is the highest in prime in self-esteem and personal satisfaction. Good night, everyone.
Good night.